Welcome to Mosaic Church Provo. To learn more about us or to support our mission, visit us at mosaicprovo.com. Thanks for listening.
And thank you, team, for leading us in worship this morning. Good morning. My name is Alan. I'm one of the pastors here at Mosaic. It is great to be together to worship with you this morning. This is, and welcome to August. This is kind of that time of the year where you don't really know if it's still summertime or if it's fall time yet. It's kind of that weird time of year, but trying to get your trips in before the fall officially kicks off. But it is still great to be here together this morning to worship, to worship through singing and even giving back financially so that that mission and vision can go forward, and then to see the gospel, because we're going to celebrate baptisms right after service this morning. We're excited about that. That's always something that we celebrate here and are excited about. But we are continuing to make our way through the Psalms in our Summer in the Psalms series that we do each summer. It looks a little different as far as how long we're in the Psalms for every summer, but in just another week from now, a week from today, we will end this series for this year with Psalm 57. And if this summer trend continues, if nothing really changes between now and next year, we'll pick up with Psalm 58 next summer. So you can kind of see what we're doing here. We're chapter by chapter, verse by verse here at Mosaic. But this morning we come to Psalm 56, Psalm chapter 56. This psalm, it carries over a similar theme as to what we saw last week in Psalm chapter 55. Pastor Jordan preached through that psalm last week, where we saw that in the midst of betrayal, that David cast his burden upon the Lord and placed his trust and placed his confidence in the Lord. And now, as with the past few chapters of the psalms that we've been in this summer, this psalm, as well as the psalm last Sunday, it causes us to turn back to the book of 1 Samuel for us to see the context in which Psalm 56 was written about. As I said, we've done this really the last few weeks. So if you have your Bibles, turn back to the book of 1 Samuel. We don't always know the circumstances or the context surrounding every psalm in the book of Psalms, but we do know, because we have a note of it, that the events that David reflects on in Psalm chapter 56 happened in 1 Samuel chapter 21 when David flees to Gath. Now, in this section of 1 Samuel chapter 21 and even the chapter surrounding chapter 21, and this time, and really for a significant period of time in David's life, David is fleeing from Saul, who was trying to kill him. Saul was the king of Israel, but David was the true and anointed king of Israel that God had chosen, and God had in that rejected Saul, who was previously the king. And in his rage and in his jealousy and his quest for power, Saul pursues David and tries to take his life. So with that, if you don't already have a Bible, I want to invite you to get a Bible. We have some here in the bins scattered throughout the room for you to get. If you need a Bible at home, just pick one of those up, take it home with you, and bring it back with you. Because as I said, we are a chapter by chapter, verse by verse church. God's Word is our authority. We're a Bible church here. With that, Psalm 56. I'm going to read just this header in Psalm, the title really of Psalm 56, and then we're going to jump into 1 Samuel chapter 21 a little bit. So as you look at Psalm 56, it says this in the first part of it: "In God I trust, to the choir master, according to the dove on far off terebinth," this a mictum of David, when the Philistines seized him in Gath. And as a side note, this dove on far off terebinth, this is a tree This phrase could have just simply been the tune or the melody of this psalm, doves on these far-off trees, if you will. But also, in this psalm, we see that it was written when the Philistines, who were Israel's enemy, they were the fierce enemies of Israel, they seized David, the king of Israel, in Gath. Now, that brings us to First Samuel chapter 21, 1 Samuel chapter 21, and we're going to read verse 10 through verse 15, just so we can get really the context of what is going on here in Psalm 56. It says this, where David flees to Gath, starting verse 10. And David rose and fled that day from Saul and went to Achish, the king of Gath. And the servants of Achish said to him, "Is not this David, the king of the land? Did they not sing to one another of him in dances? Saul has struck down his thousands and David his ten thousands." And David took these words to heart and was much afraid of Achish, the king of Gath. So he changed his behavior before them and pretended to be insane in their hands and made marks on the doors of the gate and let his spittle run down his beard. Then Achish said to his servants, "Behold, you see the man is mad. Why then have you brought him to me? Do I lack madmen that you have brought this fellow to behave as a madman in my presence? Shall this fellow come into my house?" So we see, and I think kind of the second part of that, there's some humor there, because you've got Achish, the king, and it's not like they had this picture of David floating around the region, so it was really hard to say, is this David or not? And the king is like, "Do I really need another madman in my presence? This guy's insane. We have plenty of crazy people to go around. Get him out of here." But in that, David acts insane, he acts crazy just to get himself out of this situation and out of this predicament. And then as you continue to read through this section of 1 Samuel, we see in verse 1 of 1 Samuel chapter 22 that David departed from Gath and he escaped to the cave of Adullam and then hung out there for quite some time. And with that, let's jump into Psalm 56. We'll read through the entire psalm. I'll pray, and then we will get into it. Starting at verse 1, David writes this, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me. My enemies trample on me all day long, for many attack me proudly. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you, in God, whose word I praise, in God I trust. I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? All day long they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. They stir up strife. They lurk. They watch my steps. As they have waited for my life, for their crime, will they escape? In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. You have kept count of my tossings. Put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God, whose word I praise, in the Lord, whose word I praise. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can man do to me? I must perform my vows to you, O God. I will render thank offerings to you. For you have delivered my soul from death. Yes, my feet from falling, that I may walk before God in the light of life." Let's pray. God, we confess, and as we just sang, you are great. That our very breath is yours, and Lord, may we worship you with that breath here this morning as we go about our entire lives. Lord, for those of us in this room who know you, we can agree with your word here where it says, you have delivered my soul from death. And God, we praise you for that. We thank you for that. We thank you for the gospel this morning. And now as we gather around your word and hear your word, Lord, give us ears to hear, hearts to receive your word. Lord, Spirit, change us this morning. Make us more like you. It's in your name that we pray. Amen. All right, as we read that short section of 1 Samuel chapter 21, just know that we come to a time in David's life here, and especially in Psalm 56, as he reflects on this time in his life, where he is in immense distress. And as he puts it here in the psalm, he's being trampled upon by his enemies. This was a time in David's life where his faith in the Lord was truly being tested. We often go through seasons and times of life where our faith in the Lord is being tested. And this is one of those times, this is one of those seasons for King David where his faith in the Lord was being tested. And you may be here and you may be in a similar place or a similar situation this morning. Even if you're not in immense distress or you may not be being pursued by an enemy like David was, somebody may not be trying to take your life. There are times in life when our faith needs to be realigned and we need to evaluate ourselves to see if our trust is truly and actually in the Lord, or if we've slipped into a state of fear, trying to sustain ourselves instead of taking our refuge in the Lord. We get to verse 1, verse 2 of this psalm. David says, "Be gracious to me, O God, for man tramples on me. All day long an attacker oppresses me." This isn't just for a moment here and a moment there. It says, all day long I'm feeling this pressure. An attacker is oppressing me. My enemies trample on me. He says again, all the day long. He doesn't have any rest in this moment. For many attack me proudly. We see that he feels trampled on. David's being attacked. He's living in fear, so much so that he just wanders into Gath, which is enemy territory. Now, that this isn't a place or a territory that any Israelite would try to wander into, much less the king, the upcoming king of a nation that doesn't just walk into enemy territory. David had to have been desperate here. He shouldn't have expected to even leave this region, to leave this wandering of his alive, but this is how desperate and scattered David was. This is how much he was living in fear, that he just wandered, walked into enemy territory. And as he reflects on this time in his life, we move on. Verse 3 and 4, he says, "When I am afraid," which he was desperate. "When I am afraid, I put my trust in you." And then make note of verse 4. Highlight it, circle it, make a note. He says, "In God, whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid." What can flesh? Your version may say, what can man do to me? And he follows that up with, "In God whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid." What can the world, what can man, what can flesh do to me? Because I've got God on my side. You see, verse 4 is really the entire theme, or really the entire center of Psalm 56. "I shall not be afraid," because why? My trust is in God. My trust is in the Lord. And as a result of that, why or how could I be afraid? Notice David states, and we know this in verse 3, that he is afraid. The fact that he just goes into enemy territory, Gath, proves that he is desperate. He's running. He doesn't have any rest. He's afraid. This season of his life is marked by fear and uncertainty. He says in verse 3, he's afraid, but then in verse 4, he preaches to himself, which if you're in Christ, if you know the Lord, we often have to do this. We have to preach to ourselves. We have to remind ourselves of the gospel. Verse 4, he preaches to himself that, and he says that because of his trust in his faithful God, who has not left him, who has not never forsaken him, because of his trust in his faithful God, he shall not be afraid. Listen, you may have much to be afraid of. We live in a broken world. We live in a sinful world. We ourselves are and can often be sinful and rebellious. You may have a lot to be afraid of. You may have a lot of uncertainty surrounding you. And if you don't, just know that life is often uncertain. That's the bad news. We look for and we desire a place of security and refuge. This is what we want and what we desire as human beings is security and refuge. And we so often search for it in other places instead of trusting in the Lord and finding our refuge, our shelter in Him. It's natural to want to protect ourselves and to defend ourselves, but David finds his refuge in the Lord, in the one that he trusts. And we'll come back to this, really, because verse 4 is the heartbeat of this psalm. But before we do, let's read verse 5 and verse 6. Even after remembering the goodness of God's word and how the Lord is faithful, how the Lord is trustworthy, we get to verse 5. David writes this, "All the day long, they injure my cause." Before we go on, just picture this. David writes that he's in distress. He's asking for God's grace. Man is trampling upon me. He says, "What can flesh do to me? My trust is in you." And then he says this. He goes back to that bad news, that fear, that uncertainty. All the day long, they injure my cause. All their thoughts are against me for evil. These aren't just bad thoughts. These are evil thoughts they have against David. They stir up strife. They lurk. They're watching his steps. They watch my steps as they have waited for my life. And then he says in verse 7, "For their crime, for their sin, for their evil, for their wickedness, will they escape in wrath? Cast down the peoples, O God. Bring about justice, O God." He says, all day long, his enemies trampled on him. Think back to the 1 Samuel 21 account where he's before the king, the enemy of Israel, and he's at the end of himself. What do you do? And he's just saying, "Well, I guess if I act crazy and if I drool and if I spit in my beard and if I just scrape the walls, they'll just let me out." This is desperation. All day long, his enemies twisted his words. They pursued him. Their thoughts and actions towards him were evil. The Lord protected and preserved his life, though. All throughout this time, this season of attack, David didn't retaliate. You can read 1 Samuel about his interactions with Saul, David often had the opportunity to take the life of Saul, but he didn't. He didn't retaliate. He didn't go out and build what he thought would be a strong and mighty army to fight back against his oppressors. That's what we want to do. That's what we're tempted to do, is to build a strong and mighty army to fight back. He didn't go out and collect this arsenal of weapons. We see that the Lord would bring him men who would be part of his army in 1 Samuel chapter 22. But David didn't retaliate here. What did he do? Verse 7, we just read it. For their crime, will they escape? Will they be able just to get away with this? And then he just cries out to God, in your wrath, God, cast these people down. Make them pay. Bring about justice. In verse 7, we see that he trusted that the Lord would act on his behalf. We see that clearly in verse 3 and 4. I put my trust in you, God. I trust you. What can man do to me? But we also see this in verse 7 when he petitions the Lord to act on his behalf. In wrath, cast down the peoples, O God. He trusted that the Lord would bring about justice. You see, we want justice. When those, as we saw in Psalm 55 last week, when those who we think are close to us betray us, we want justice. We think we can dish out perfect justice towards those who have hurt us, or those who have pursued us and have been against us, those who have deceived us. But one of the themes of this summer in the Psalms just happens to be where we're at in this book. We've had to learn quite a bit this summer, as difficult as it is, we have to learn to leave justice in the Lord's hands. That doesn't mean there isn't consequence for sin. That doesn't mean we won't ever see justice this side of eternity. We might. We hope we will. But as followers of Him, those who trust in Him, we have to learn to leave justice in His hands. Why? Because His justice, His wrath towards the wicked, towards the evil ones, is better than any sort of justice that we could come up with on our own. As we move on, but we still fear. We still fear. We go through, as we go through life, the roller coaster that life can often be, we still have hardships and trials and pressures that we face day to day, week to week. There might be a lot of pressure in your life right now, but the question is, how much of your life is shaped by or driven by fear instead of faith in the Lord? This fear can make us do some crazy things. What did it do to David and for David? It got him out of a bad situation, for one, but he was desperate. He was in fear. You shouldn't make a big decision when you're living in fear. But the question is, how much of your life is shaped by fear, driven by fear, and how much of it is shaped or driven by faith in the Lord? Again, back to verse 3 and verse 4. When I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God, whose word I praise and God I trust, I shall not be afraid. What can flesh do to me? What can man do to me? Because I am in the Lord's hands, I am in God's hands, and because of that, what can immortal man or mortal man do? do to me? And the answer is a lot. Okay? David's not just saying this to make himself feel better or make himself feel invincible. And as we read this, we should not try to read that into the passage that, okay, just because I'm just because I trust in him doesn't mean I'm invincible. What can flesh do to me? The answer is a lot. Others against you can lie about you, abuse you, twist your words, overtake your well-being, steal from you, and in extreme cases, try to take your life. But the Lord, Jesus, the King of Kings, is greater than all of this. He's greater than all the things that man can do to you, because in this extreme case, if you're his and they take your life, you get to be with him. David goes from fear to faith. The first two verses, fear, I'm being attacked. Verse 3 and 4, my faith is in you. And then as we go on, he kind of goes back to this, reflecting on this fearful time in his life. And then he goes back to faith. He goes from fear to faith. And there are many times in our lives where we go from fear to faith in the Lord, and then sometimes even back to fear. But we must take that step towards saying, towards praying this same thing: in God whose word I praise, in God I trust. Fear can immobilize us. It can cause us to be irrational. And whatever it is that we fear, if it's a person or place or season of life, it can grab our attention, can consume us, it can pull our focus away from the Lord. But faith, what does faith do? Faith in the Lord causes us to fix our focus, turn our hearts back to him. We're so busy over here, focused on our fear, even trying to fix what it is that we fear. But our focus must be realigned to be upon the Lord. Biblical faith doesn't cause us to, or tell us to, pull ourselves up by our bootstraps. It doesn't put the focus on us to perform well. And as a result of our good performance, that will somehow earn God's blessing or deliverance. True faith says that when I am afraid, I put my trust in you. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. The world says, and the hardships that we face or go through says, that we have much to worry about. We have much to fear. How could you live at rest? How could you have peace? Because there's so much in this world. There's so much in your life to fear, to be afraid of, to worry about. But the Lord says, why would you live in fear when I am your refuge? Isaiah chapter 41, verse 10, the Lord says this to his people who are in fear at this time in Israel's life, says, fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. As Jesus gives the Sermon on the Mount in the book of Matthew, he preaches. See, not much has changed in Israel's life. They're still wandering, they still worry, they still fear, they still turn their backs on the Lord. Not much has changed between Isaiah and Jesus. Jesus preaches on worry, anxiety. He says this, Matthew chapter 6, verse 34. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. Your Bible may say, tomorrow has enough worries of its own. Jesus knows that they are prone to wander. Jesus knows that they're always focused on what it is they're worried about, or they're consumed with their anxiety. And he says, don't be anxious for tomorrow. He says, don't worry. As he teaches, as he gives this sermon, he helps those listeners to fix their eyes, fix their faith on Jesus. And he says, today has enough trouble of its own. Why would you worry about tomorrow? But the heart of that passage is trusting in the Lord, the one who will strengthen us, the one who will help us and uphold us with his righteous right hand. We come to the second half, the end of Psalm 56. You read with me verse 8 through verse 11. He says this about the Lord. You have kept count of my tossings. Your Bible may say you've kept count of my wanderings. You know where I have wandered. You've put my tears in your bottle. Are they not in your book? Then my enemies will turn back in the day when I call. This I know, that God is for me. In God whose word I praise, in the Lord whose word I praise, in God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Then he says again, sounds familiar, what can man do to me? Prone to wander. Lord, I feel it. Prone to leave. The God I love, as the old hymn says. David says it here. He reflects on who the Lord is. You've kept count. Lord, you know my times of wandering. You know where I have gone. You've seen my faith in you waver. Even in our wanderings, even as we toss and turn, the Lord knows. If you are His, not even for a moment, things are out of control. If you're His, things are always in control. There is not one thing ever that's out of His control. He is sovereign over all things. He says, you have put my tears in your bottle. In verse 8, we can find comfort in this, that our God is loving and kind, compassionate to us. He collects our tears. He knows our burden. This is true for those of us in Christ. The author of Hebrews, as he writes about and on Jesus being our high priest, he tells us that Jesus knows, our high priest, our Savior, our King knows. He knows our sorrow, and he's compassionate to us in our weaknesses. Hebrews chapter 4, verse 15 says, for we, even here today, do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But we have one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet he is without sin. He knows, he sympathizes with our weaknesses. He identifies with us in our weaknesses. He bottles up our tears today, meaning that he knows every sorrow, every hardship, every difficult season in life. He bottles up our tears because he cares, he knows, he's compassionate to us. He identifies with us in that suffering. We can find rest and comfort in that, but as we look forward to the day that he will wipe away every tear, as he says in Revelation chapter 21, verse 4. He will wipe away every tear from their eyes. And death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. We look forward to that day when Jesus will make all things new. There won't be a reason that our tears have to be bottled up. Verse 10 and 11, he says it again, "In God I trust. I shall not be afraid." He says it for a second time in this psalm. Also, that he praises God's word. Now, when you read that, when I first read it, I'm like, why is he praising the word? He's praising God. Yes, we praise God. We trust in the Lord. But he's saying, I in the Lord's word, in the Lord whose word I praise. Listen, our anchor, especially in times of wandering and in life's hardships and fears, our anchor is God's word. Because in it, we find the promises of God to his people, and we cling to those promises because he who made them is trustworthy. The one that we put our trust in. That's why we are a Bible church here at Mosaic, because there is nothing else that is our anchor besides Jesus and his word. And it's in those life's hardships and fear that is our, God's word is our anchor. In his word, we find this. In his word, the Lord, that we praise, we find this in Romans chapter 8. Verse 31, "What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?" In his word, we find this in Romans 8, same chapter, verse 37 through verse 39. "No, in all these things we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death nor life nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all of creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus, our Lord." And God, whose word I praise, and the Lord, whose word I praise, we find this in his word, John chapter 16. Verse 33, when Jesus says, "I have said these things to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world." If you're a believer here and you're in a valley this morning, cling to his word, because in his word we find John 3:16, which says, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life." In God whose word we praise, and the Lord whose word we praise in his word, we find John chapter 10, verse 27 through verse 29, which says, Jesus says, "My sheep, hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. And no one will snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all. And no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand." This is our shepherd, the one that we trust, even in our tossings, even in the wanderings. No one will be able to snatch us out of his hands. In verse 13 of this psalm, the final verse, David says that the Lord has delivered his soul from death so that he may walk in the light of life. If you're familiar with the Gospel of John, the book that we are still preaching through, we'll pick back up later in the fall, you know that this points us to Jesus, who is the light of life. Jesus is the light of the world, and in him, Jesus is the light that the darkness has not and will never overcome. Know this morning that he is worthy of our trust. And in Jesus, the trustworthy one, you can rest this morning. In God I trust, I shall not be afraid. Let's pray. God, so often we know that we live in fear. We know that the pressures of life, the things that we so often face in this life, push us to fear. It causes us to wander. But Lord, you are greater than all of those things. Lord, for those here today who may be living in fear, they know you. They're trust for salvation is in you, but if they are living in fear, Lord, I pray that you would remind them this morning that you are the trustworthy one. Lord, for any here today who has not yet trusted in you for righteousness and salvation, that today would be the day that they decide to follow Christ, that they turn from their sin, they trust that you are enough and sufficient to remove their sin and cover them in your righteousness, Lord. May that, we pray that that would happen today for that person who is yet to do that. Lord, we thank you that you comfort us. We thank you that you are the compassionate one who is worthy of our trust, our worship, our adoration, Lord. Lord, as we prepare to come to the table this morning, I pray that our eyes would be fixed on you, the trustworthy one. It's in your name that we pray. Amen.